I'd like you all to fasten your seatbelts. Anything that you can throw, put it down on the floor. I want to speak to you today about God's kingdom, but I'm going to make a statement here that might get some people nervous. I love politics. Do you really have to boo that? I haven't really got... You know why I like politics? Because I love history. I grew up in Philadelphia, Independence Hall, the Liberty Bell, Betsy Ross, who allegedly sewed up one of our first flags, Benjamin Franklin's house and grave, Valley Forge. Man, if you don't know the story of Valley Forge, please go read a book about Valley Forge, where the American Army spent a winter in log cabins in freezing weather to continue on our revolution. I love history. I love politics. 50 years ago, 1974, when I was 12, so you know that I'm Social Security eligible this year, I'm 62, I remember watching Richard Nixon resign as President of the United States, 50 years ago. And my wife tells a story. I know she's out there somewhere. I see her. She tells a story that her mom used to make her watch that all the time and said, "This is what happens to people who lie." Richard Nixon. And I remember 40 years ago, when I was a young pastor, 22 years old, about the same Sabbath, it was a week before President Reagan and Walter Mondale were in election 40 years ago, and I remember people saying, and I don't know how this is possible, but I remember people saying that both of them were Satan. Now, we would never do that today in American politics. We're very respectful. We don't call each other names. But I remember that election. You know what? We survived. We survived President Nixon resigning. Ronald Reagan was not Satan. And we've gone through a lot of things. I think what the choir sang, I didn't say this in first service, "It is well, my people, God's people. It's going to be okay." Because in the end, only one kingdom is eternal. Only one kingdom lasts forever. Where are the Babylonians? Where are the Persians? Where is the Greek Empire? In Jesus' time, and I'm going to tell you a secret, this sermon, I wanted to call it "The Politics in the Time of Jesus." That's really what it's about, but I'm calling it "The Priority of God's Kingdom," so I don't get in too much trouble. In Jesus' time, the Roman Empire, I mean, they were everywhere around him. Where are the Nazis? I mean, there's Nazis around, but the Nazi Empire, Hitler, they're gone. These where's the British Empire? Gone. And if time lasts, America, I don't want to say it, but history tends to say empires come and go, the Russian Empire, the Chinese Empire. But today we're going to focus on God's kingdom. I love second service because I have as much time as I need. I can just take my time, tell extra stories. You know, Pastor Matt tells me, don't go off script. Well, he's out of town, so I'm going off script. I didn't tell this to first service. We used to come here 30 years ago for vacation. Never dreamed we'd live here. And one day we were driving down a road, you may have heard of it, I-4. And we were down at a little place called Disney. And we were coming home. Have you ever seen I-4 with no cars on it? Have you ever seen that? We're coming home from Disney. And for like about 5 miles, there's no cars on the other side. Now, I thought, rapture, natural disaster. All of a sudden, I see like 50 black SUVs and the presidential limo. President George W. Bush was coming to speak down in Orlando. Priority for him, they closed I-4. I mean, wow. Wow. And to see that, whoosh, 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 to see that power, being a history person, I was very excited to see a presidential caravan, whatever. I love history. I love politics. I love people. You know what? What is the Bible? It is a history of people and politics. But the thing I love the most about the Bible, it's the story of Jesus. And Jesus, I believe, has something to say to you and me today. 10 days away from the election. Everybody stay calm. We're going to survive. I think Jesus would like to remind us of a few things today. But before I get really serious, I'll go off script again. When I was in college, oh man, they make you take preaching classes and you have to preach in front of your friends and then they get to evaluate you. And they wrote about me, I can't believe this, 40 years ago they said, you're too serious when you preach. I think I've gotten over that. But the truth is, preaching God's message, the Bible, it is serious business because God is trying to speak to us today. But before we get really, really serious, I'm going to give you a quiz. 7 statements about me. You have to pick the one that is false. So listen, and we'll come back to this quiz at the end. I'll give you the answer. But here we go. Try to figure out. My family, you can't answer. Don't laugh. Don't say anything. True or false, I have run for public office. 2, I have met the governor of Puerto Rico. 3, I heard Martin Luther King's widow, Coretta Scott King, give a speech. 4, my grandfather was the mayor of Longwood, Florida. My first elected office, I'll tell you my last elective office, so that tells you this one's true. My first and last elected office was 8th grade class president. I won one election. I have attended a national political convention for one of the 2 major parties, the Republicans or the Democrats. And the last one, I have served as a police commissioner. So y'all think about those. Okay, and we'll come back to those at the end. Now we're going to get serious and look at some Bible texts. We're going to put them up on the screen. I can't read that one, so I'm going to read this one. Matthew 4:23. This is where we're starting out. And Jesus went about all of Galilee. Did he put a lot of steps on his cell phone, his walking steps? Did he get 10,000 steps a day? I think he did. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues/churches, preaching what? The good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Let me give you good news. We are a part of God's kingdom. He wants us to be a part of his kingdom. Not only that, he wants you to live with him in heaven forever, and he's provided a way to get there. Regardless of what happens in this world, we belong to that kingdom, and we're heading to that kingdom. 2, this is the text I want you to take home and put on your refrigerator or let your kids write with crayons on the wall or whatever. This text, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else shall be added to you. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of commercials, there's a lot of social media that's trying to get us to seek after a lot of things. My life is divided into two sections, before I married my wife and after I married my wife, and then there's another division before Amazon.com and after Amazon.com. You can find anything you're looking for, anything. But Jesus says, I want you to make my kingdom the top priority in your life. Okay, next one, Matthew 22:15-22. The Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. That never happens today, does it? People trying to entangle people in what they're saying. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know you're true. Now, they're just buttering him up. And that you teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Are they being very sarcastic? Yes, they are. Next verse. Therefore, tell us, what do you think? Be careful when you tell people what you think. I'm going to go off script again because I have 2 hours to give this talk. Somebody asked Benjamin Franklin when they were writing the Declaration of Independence, why don't you talk more? Why don't you share your ideas? Why don't you say what you think? And he says, I don't want people not to like me. There's some wisdom to that. Jesus, what do you think? Here's the question. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And we know this. If he says don't pay taxes, who's he in trouble with? Caesar, the Romans. If he says pay taxes, who's he in trouble with? The Jewish people. There's no way out of this. They're, ha-ha, we got you, Jesus. Ha-ha, it's a trick. And he says, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the money. So they brought him a denarius, a coin. And he said to them, you know this, whose image and inscription is this? They said, that's Caesar's face on there. And he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And when they heard these words, they marveled and left and went their way. He's basically saying, pay your taxes, don't get in trouble with the government, but keep God as your top priority. Now, you've never heard this text, Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. Be careful what you put before God. And there's a long list of this, but I would say, don't let your politics, your loyalty, your passion for those things come before God. Next text that you think is from the New Testament, but it's actually in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6:5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Yes, Jesus said that in the New Testament, but he was quoting the Old Testament. We are to love God with a small part of our life, with half of our life, everything. Okay, Matthew 22:34-40. Two more texts. Matthew 22:34-40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, did the Pharisees and Sadducees go out to eat a lot? Did they have potlucks together? Did they like each other? No, these are basically the religious Democrats and Republicans. They don't like each other. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they're like, oh, cool. Now it's our chance to take a shot at Jesus. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question. What's the greatest commandment? And he said, didn't we just read this in Deuteronomy? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second one, get ready for it, Americans. Get ready for it, human beings. Love your neighbor as yourself. Come on, Jesus. Man, Jesus is hard, isn't he? Isn't he hard? He's actually going to say something that really troubles me. We should love our enemies. That means our political enemies. That means people who treat us wrongly. Jesus calls us to love them. Last text. I like this one. Philippians 3:20. Where's our citizenship? Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus wants to remind us where our true citizenship is from. There are people in this congregation from a lot of countries. Some people have dual citizenship. That's really cool that you get two. Some people, believe it or not, I'm not going to mention it, some people actually think that their country is better than other people's country. They actually believe that. I know nobody here believes that. People are from many, many different countries. But believers, let's remember that Paul, speaking for Jesus, says, our true citizenship is in heaven. Oh boy, that means all those people that aren't from our country, that are from other countries, countries we don't like, countries that have different religions, some of them could be fellow citizens in heaven. Wow. Okay, so the political environment of Jesus' time. What was going on? Well, we know about the Roman occupation. There are some people in this church that have lived in an occupied country. America was occupied. I got to be careful, by the British. And then it was occupied by the Europeans, because the Native Americans, they were like, man, we got to build a wall. There's a lot of immigrants coming in here. Cultures can come on top of cultures. And in Jesus' time, he grew up in a Roman occupation all around him. You got Pilate, you got Caesar. Then he had Jewish kings, Herod and others. So you've got local government, you've got the Roman federal government. And here's my favorite. Religious leaders. I love religious leaders. I'm a religious leader. I have to be careful how I talk about religious leaders. You know, the most active, interesting, sometimes rough politics is religious politics. And he had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests, the zealots, who believe it or not, that it was okay to use violence against other people to promote their political out. The Essenes, who believed, let's all move out to a cave in the desert, go away from everything, detach from the world. Jesus doesn't call us to that. That was, he had the common people who had a real hope for a Messiah. They were looking, are we looking for the Messiah to come? Oh, yes. You know the word Messiah in Hebrew means the anointed one. You know Christ in Greek means the anointed one. So the Messiah in Christ, Jesus is the anointed one, the chosen one, the Messiah. The people are looking for this in a mess of political mess, and Jesus is trying to teaching. And did Jesus support any of those political parties? No, he stayed out of it. He went above it. So here's some of the bumper stickers they put on their chariots. Are you ready for this? Some of the yard signs they put out. One of them was Pilate for governor. Okay, there were some people doing that. One was Herod is our king. One of the really popular ones was that they put out in their yards was, we want Barabbas. Barabbas was very popular. He was known. He was a revolutionary. He was a troublemaker. A lot of people, and you know, when they said, let's vote between Jesus and Barabbas, who did they vote for? They voted for Barabbas. There were pro-Roman signs, anti-Roman signs. There were, I'm loyal to Caesar. There's the Pharisee party. There's the Sadducee party. There's the Zealot party. There's the Essene party. I think my favorite bumper sticker back there would have been, women for Jesus. Women for Jesus. Was Jesus for women? Oh, yes, he was. Did he treat them equally? Oh, yes, he did. Did the culture around him, did the politics around him treat them very well? Oh, no, they didn't. So you had those women for Jesus signs, but a lot of the men were going around taking those signs down. They had a sign, I am not a Gentile. And maybe my favorite sign was, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. So you have all these things going on. So I want to ask you, how is it different from our time? It's not really different from our time. You are being challenged to be sucked into a political world that will annihilate the priority of God's kingdom in your life. Am I telling you not to vote? No. Am I telling you not to have opinions? No. I had a friend tell me that last week the pastor in their church, not Florida Conference, not Adventist, but in Florida, the pastor got up and told the people who to vote for, and if they voted for the other person, they were going to hell. I won't do that to you today, because I don't believe that's right to do. So you can have God's kingdom be a priority and still be politically involved. Let's say everybody on this side is one way and everybody's the other on this side. Jesus says, love your enemies. Love your neighbors. Person says to Jesus, who's my neighbor? Jesus says, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you a story. There was a Democrat heading to work, going down I-4, and he saw somebody laying on the side of I-4, and he just drove by because he did not want to be late for work. And then a Republican came along and saw him laying there and drove by. And he would probably say something like, and an Adventist pastor drove by, and a priest drove by, and a rabbi drove by. And you know, you want to guess who stopped? An illegal alien. Because when Jesus told them that a Samaritan stopped and the rabbi and the priest had gone by, it blew their mind. Jesus was trying to say, anybody in need, help them. Now, I tell my daughters, I tell them this, do not pick up hitchhikers. You got to use common sense. Jesus also said, I send you out as sheep among the wolves. So you have to use common sense. But when you have an opportunity that's a safe opportunity, Jesus basically says, everybody's your neighbor. Everybody. So I got some bad news for you. I'm going to give it to you straight. Who's invited to be a part of God's kingdom? Everybody. What territory is covered by God's kingdom? Everything. I hate to break it to you, earthlings, but this expands to the universe. And however many universes are out there, God's kingdom covers everything. But the earth, I want you to stay calm. Let me finish this comment. I believe in racism. I believe in the human race. We are all part of the human race. Equally a family living together on this planet. But God's territory covers the universe. Does the freedom of choice apply to all created beings in the universe? Yes. Because if God is love, I want my wife to love me because she chooses to love me. I want my kids to love me because they choose to love me. I want to choose to love them. God, who is love, has created choice, freedom of choice. I'm not talking about political choice. Don't send me emails. I'm talking about the freedom of choice in regards to God's kingdom. Now, here's one that a lot of people have never thought about. Does God ever, in eternity, take the freedom of choice away? Does he ever take the freedom of choice away? No, he never takes the freedom of choice away because he's love. You may not like this, but who only can decide who is in God's kingdom? God. They said to Jesus, "Man, you hang out with sinners, you hang out with drunkards, you hang out with tax collectors. Those people are invited to God's kingdom. He wants them there. And you and I know I'm a worse person than you think I am. And deep down, you know you're not as good as people think you are. But God, in spite of that, loves us all." And then finally, man, I love this one. How long are we going to be a part of God's kingdom? Forever. Daniel, I love Daniel. The image is Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome. And then Daniel is shown a stone coming from heaven that strikes that image, destroys it. And Daniel's told, this is God's kingdom, which lasts forever. Good news for you. We are going to live together with Jesus, with God, with each other forever. Our kids, our family, our friends. No end to that. I just forever in his kingdom. So what are the priorities of this kingdom? I'll give them to you quick, and you can start doing them all now. Worship God. We worship Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I hope you're worshiping every day. Now, the Sabbath is a special side set aside, but what you're doing here is not Sabbath. Sabbath is time with God. We are worshiping here on Sabbath, but we are going to worship. Eternity is going to be one big Sabbath of rest forever. What else is in God's kingdom? What's a priority? People are a priority in God's kingdom. I hope you make your kids, your husband, your wife, your father, your mother, your uncle, your aunt, I hope you make them a priority, because in God's kingdom, every created being throughout the universe is a priority. How do we know that? For God so loved the world that he gave his son. Number three, love is a priority. Please make love a priority in your life. Please love somebody today. Please show somebody you love them. Here's the one that I really love in his kingdom. He has grace, he has mercy, he has forgiveness. There are big sins, there are little sins. I'm sure if I did a big sin, a lot of you would never talk to me again. But God is always willing to show grace and mercy and forgiveness and his kingdom. Number five, justice. What is right? You know, evil is on a pretty hard run these days. But let me tell you this. Evil may rule the day, but God's kingdom rules eternity. And it will end. All right. I'm going to go back to the quiz, and then I've got a challenge for you, and then it's time for lunch. Have I run for public office? Yes, I did. I ran for city commissioner in Minnesota. I lost. I finished third out of six, which I'm going to take that as respectable. I was the second loser. I was in second place. Have I met the governor of Puerto Rico? Yes, I have met the governor of Puerto Rico. Did I hear Martin Luther King Jr.'s widow give a speech? Yes, I did. At Andrews University, she came and gave a speech. It was really cool to see a historical figure like that. And here, was my grandfather, Stephen M. Euskert, who's buried right over here, was he the mayor of Longwood, Florida? Yes, he was. So I have political blood in me. That explains some things. I already told you that I was elected as my eighth grade class president. I won't tell you that there were only 18 people in that class, but I got at least 10 votes, so I won. Do you think I've served as a police commissioner? I have. Yes, I have. In Minnesota, I served as a police commissioner for 3 years, three civilians, and that always, ever since I became a police commissioner, now I love to watch Law and Order and all those shows, you know, like I was a police commissioner, you know? Yeah, that was fun. You were right if you guessed that I have never attended a political convention for the Democrats or the Republicans, and I will honestly tell you, I don't want to, okay? So here's God's challenge to you and to me. Here we go. Let's finish this out. God asks for our number one loyalty and worship in our lives. He asks that he be number one. Number two, God calls us to make disciples and not political enemies. I know our religion would never do this, but I've seen some religions where people feel they're so right that God has called them to tell everybody how wrong they are. I know we would never do that. And I don't think Jesus is calling us to do that. He's calling us to make disciples, not political enemies. Pastor, why don't you post political things? What? Nope, I'm not gonna go there. I'm not gonna make enemies. This is important for you all as we're 10 weeks from an election. God calls us to focus on the eternal. What is the eternal? What's going to last forever? This election will be temporary and pass away, and 50 years from now, if we're still here, people will talk a little about it. God calls us to love our enemies. We're going to need this in the days going forward. And he calls us to worship only him. Are you okay if I finish before 1 o'clock? I feel like I should keep going. You're okay with that? This young man saying, do it. In Revelation, we have the seal of God and the mark of the beast. Be careful with that. Be very careful with that. If you look at the context, it's all about worship. Who do you worship? God or the beast? There is an opposing kingdom to God's kingdom. I'm not going to give that kingdom publicity. I'm not going to talk about it. But that seal of God, mark of the beast, in the Roman time that Jesus and Paul lived, do you know what they did with slaves? They marked them. They tattooed them. They put scars on them to show who owned them. The seal of God, the mark of the beast, in the end of time, just as saying, this group is worshiping God, and this group is not. Be careful who you give the mark of the beast to. God hasn't really called us to do that. He also, I hate to tell you this, he hasn't called us to be the Holy Spirit either. And nowhere in the Bible does he call us to judge people. So in his kingdom, let him take care of that. So I believe that God is talking to me and talking to you and saying, please make my kingdom, my teachings, my way of life, the priority in your life. And I love this church because our theme is live the gospel. And Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, which is the story, basically, how much God loves us. Make his kingdom your priority. Let's pray. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Thank you that you invite each one of us and our neighbors and our enemies. You offer an invitation for all of us to be a part of your kingdom. May we be loving ambassadors for you in all we do. Amen.